welcome to the Menstrual Mental Health Podcast. I'm Mary Nordahl, and I'm here to help you get the most out of life and teach you everything I've learned as a certified fertility awareness instructor with a bachelor's in clinical psychology. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing the menstrual mindset shifts you need to become the best version of yourself and finally live the life of your dreams. Oh, I hope you can hear the crickets going off in the background. It is just the best sound of summer. Am I right? And perhaps you are in winter while you're listening to this. Perhaps you're in summer. Whichever season you're in, externally and internally, I welcome you. Welcome back to the Menstrual Mental Health Podcast. It's so good to have you here. I just love getting to share with you a little bit about what you're interested in, right? You tapped on this episode because you're curious about how to use your cycle, chart your cycle as a form of natural birth control, which is something that I have done now for 2 years and have successfully avoided pregnancy just by doing that, by observing how my body communicates to me when I'm fertile and when I'm not. And not just fertility, but also so much more, where I've been able to lean into that data from my body and reduce PMS. I used to have terrible hormonal acne and never really struggled with cramps. Every now and then it would definitely kind of just, hey, I'm here. But hormonal acne and definitely mood swings, anxiety, irritability, anger, things like that, that by charting my cycle, I was able to dramatically cut those premenstrual symptoms in half. Oh my goodness. So someone just screamed in the background in my neighborhood. I don't know if the microphone caught that. Listen, when I'm recording these podcasts, there is just something about having the window open, hearing the crickets. I can't help myself, okay? So if you hear a little background noise, that means that I am a normal-ass human being who is sitting in her office recording and not trying to shut out the rest of the world in the process. You feel me? Cool. So this topic is really fun for me because I just can't believe that I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary of using fertility awareness as a natural form of birth control. And many of you come to this podcast, visit my Instagram page, hop onto my website to learn how to do that for yourself too, because you're a little curious, like maybe you're on hormonal birth control, which I used to be on it several years ago. I was in college and that was the best option for me at the time. I needed to go on the pill because I didn't have the skill set or the discipline yet that is needed to use natural birth control reliably. Also, fertility awareness at that time that I was in college just wasn't popular yet. It wasn't trusted yet. And if you are on some type of birth control, please just know that I'm not pill shaming, not hormonal birth control shaming. Because sometimes that is the best option for you at that point in your life. Or maybe you're not on hormonal birth control. Maybe you're just winging it, just relying on condoms and curious how you can remove that question mark that lingers during intimacy. I remember what that was like to not be totally engaged in this intimate moment with your partner because you're silently wondering, silently freaking out in the back of your mind, like, what if I get pregnant? You want to feel so much more confident and enjoy your intimacy because, first of all, honey, I've never said honey, but it just felt appropriate. First of all, girlfriend, you deserve to have worry-free sex. There, I said it, okay? And second of all, let me tell you, once I learned the deep science of my cycle, it was such a freeing feeling for me to have the knowledge and empowerment that comes with fertility awareness. Once I dedicated and took the time to dive into the deep science of my cycle. And there were a few years there where I would just skim through Instagram, do a quick little Google search, and try to connect the dots on my own, and thought that that would be enough for me to avoid pregnancy naturally. Once I became a certified fertility awareness instructor with FEM, I realized just how risky it is for women to try and teach themselves natural birth control without a certified instructor. It's a big risk. So if you want to catch a little bit more details about my story, my fertility awareness path, check out episode 6, where I hop on the microphone with my husband, Brendan. We talk about the pill, our little stunt with period tracking apps, and how we ended up with 2 back-to-back pregnancies before we finally invested in learning about the menstrual cycle from someone other than Google. So I just want to satisfy your thirst for knowledge in this episode and answer all your questions about what it would look like for you to live a lifestyle of fertility awareness. So I'm peeling back the curtain into what my life looks like. And this episode is just going to be a really great overview, a great way to whet your palate, per se, to what I teach inside my basic fertility awareness course, Cycle Clue. It was named appropriately for the way it walks you through how to properly read and interpret the clues of your cycle. Essentially, those clues are the way that your body communicates to you through 4 main biomarkers: cervical mucus, LH or luteinizing hormone, BBT, and cervical position. Each of these biomarkers are great for understanding your health and well-being, but equally where you are in relation to ovulation and your ability to get pregnant. I've read through quite a few menstrual cycle books, and I can tell you, as a certified instructor, a large majority of the fertility awareness books out there are merely scratching the surface of what you deserve to know as a woman with an ovulatory cycle. So what I love about Cycle Clue course, which is adapted from FEM, is that it dives so deep into the science of FSH, LH, estrogen, progesterone, that my students walk away knowing how to avoid pregnancy from now until menopause. Because the reality is that your cycle is going to shift and morph over the next couple decades, and it's going to confuse the heck out of you as to whether or not you're fertile. But once you understand how your hormones are influencing your biomarkers, you'll even know how to teach your daughter one day before she gets her first period. Now, isn't that something that you wish you had known as a little teeny bopper, right? So Cycle Clue is currently open for enrollment, and it is officially a self-study program where you've got pre-recorded modules that can be done in like 6 hours if you want to just bang it out and get it done. Or you can spread out all 6 modules over the course of 6 weeks. Totally up to you, baby. So there's quizzes to help you solidify your newfound knowledge and handouts so you can print out and keep in the bathroom when you're a little confused about whether you're seeing fertile or infertile mucus. And if you want messaging support to help you understand the material just a little bit better, I have a membership portal that's $1 for the first month. Literally $1 just to hop in, get unlimited messaging support, meet the other ladies who are also trying to live better lives, healthier habits, and ultimately be that empowered, confident lady that you deserve to be. So hop on over to my website, fertilityawarenesspath.com, to enroll today. Now, one thing that I want to get out of the way before we dive into our topic are the different types of birth control. When I studied with FEM, we took some time to look at the different types of birth control that are out there, taking it just by chance, withdrawal, condoms, the pill, IUD, which is a copper IUD and hormonal, the ring, Depo Provera shot, and then of course, fertility awareness methods, which is very similar to a natural family planning method. If you follow me over on Instagram, you may or may not have noticed that I never talk about statistics. I just don't like to get caught up in the statistics of the effectiveness of the different types of methods that are available to us. And let me tell you why. I'm curious, you as a listener, if you share the same experience as mine, that I have never been polled. Like, I've never been surveyed or asked what birth control I'm using and how effective it has been for me. So where are they getting this data? Who is the type of person that they are polling for this data? Are they a super responsible person when it comes to like evaluating the pill? There's too many factors for me. And also, just to be completely honest, I hate math. It confuses the heck out of me. Like, to the point where we did standardized testing in high school, and my senior year of high school, I had to take a basic math class just to prove to the state that I could add 2 + 2. It was ridiculous. So me and math, we don't get along. And honestly, what it really boils down to is this. The device or pill that you're using, you are placing all of your trust in something external of you. And what happens when we use natural family planning or fertility awareness, or I just like to say natural birth control to encompass both of those. When you're using natural birth control by interpreting how your body is communicating to you, yes, you are using science, which is external of you, but it's helping you strengthen your ability to interpret how your body is communicating to you. So we have this science and evidence-based material available to us over the years of these scientists who have taken time to really look at cervical mucus qualities, how basal body temperature reflects our ovulation, LH testing, cervical position. I'm not going to get into all of that science right now. So some of the natural birth control methods that are available to us are Billings method, Creighton model, Justice, BBT, which includes those predictive devices like Natural Cycles or DAISY, which I do not advocate for. And if you're ever curious as to why, you are welcome to message me, because I do not want to be sued for the words that I say over the podcast radio waves. And then there's also Symptothermal. Sympto being cervical mucus, thermal being basal body temperature or your waking temperature. Now, I teach the FEM method. FEM stands for Fertility Education and Medical Management. FEM trained and certified me in reading and interpreting cervical mucus, as well as LH testing. LH testing is done through a basic at-home urine test that reads luteinizing hormone, which is the hormone that causes ovulation. Then I add in basal body temperature to my course Cycle Clue, because I love that extra layer of confidence, that extra biomarker of confidence. And then I also add in cervical position as an optional biomarker for those women who want a fourth biomarker for ultra confidence. Now, what this looks like day in and day out depends on where you are in your cycle. Obviously, during menstruation, my number one focus is resting, eating well, and taking care of myself. As I said earlier, charting isn't just about fertility awareness, it's also about well-being awareness. So I'm also tracking during menstruation how many pads I'm using. So this would be the number of products that you're using or the number of times that you empty your menstrual cup, because you want to know quantitatively how much you are bleeding, because that's going to tell you a lot about how healthy you are, how healthy your bleed is. It's a direct reflection of your estrogen levels. So when we can quantify our estrogen levels, we can better understand why other things might be out of whack or imbalanced.
balanced. After menstruation, most women will have a period of dryness before they enter into their ovulatory phase. So that is typically what I experience, where I'll have a couple days where I can kind of take it easy, but I am still on alert and paying attention to the moment when cervical mucus begins. Because as soon as I see anything that resembles cervical mucus, I am considered fertile. Cervical mucus serves to help sperm stay alive inside the female reproductive tract for up to 5 days. So I'm not chancing it. Even though I've been charting for 2 years, pre-ovulatory intercourse is still kind of like a iffy thing for me. We are just happy to explore other ways of being intimate during this time, and that's okay with us. We enjoy that challenge. Then, once I enter into the ovulatory phase, my day-to-day looks a little bit more quote-unquote intense because I'm really paying attention to my fertile mucus. Keep in mind that every single day of my cycle, when I go to bed, I put on my temp drop device. I turn it on. There's this little button that I hold down and the button turns green and I slip it over my arm and it fits right into my armpit, essentially, as close to my armpit as possible. And it takes my temperature for me throughout the night, which I really like because I tried the whole oral temperature, take it as soon as you wake up, same time every day thing, and it just did not work for me. I was breastfeeding at the time, and then I just have sporadic sleep schedules where I just don't like to wake up at the same time every day, especially based on where I am in my cycle. So during menstruation, I like to sleep in, and then ovulatory phase, I like to get up at like 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever floats my boat. So I just love that Temp Drop takes my basal body temperature throughout the night for me. And then I will sync my phone like every couple days. You know, you're supposed to sync it every single morning, but after 2 years, I've gotten a little lazy, so I'll do it like every 2 or 3 days. LH testing is another biomarker that's included specifically during the fertile window, during the ovulatory phase. That is the only time that you would take your LH testing because it's only released 24 to 36 hours prior to ovulation. What this LH test entails is peeing in a cup every day at the same time, doing a little test strip, waiting 5 minutes, and then recording your result. You don't want to let the test sit for more than 5 minutes because then the test result will be void and you'll have to do it again. That can be time consuming, especially if you have to figure out how to fit that into your schedule because like you can't test it first pee of the day. And if you drink coffee in the morning, you don't really want to do the pee that is right after you have coffee and you want to do it before the evening hours. So I have a lot of students that will do it as soon as they get home from their 9 to 5, which is perfectly fine. But you know, if there's just wonky days where you're traveling and out and about and this and that during your fertile phase, it can be a difficult biomarker to use. And then there's also cervical position, which you can do whichever time of the day. As soon as you pick the position that you want to be in when you're checking your cervix, you can check it any time of the day as long as you're consistent. And it's pretty simple from there because once you have confirmed ovulation with cervical mucus and basal body temperature, I love the luteal phase because once ovulation has happened, it's smooth sailing from there, baby. A healthy fertile phase will be roughly 4 to 6 days. And so you're looking at about a week where you're really paying close attention to your bodily symptoms. But then the rest of the month is fine. You're just paying attention to your health and your mood and your energy levels. Your discipline during the fertile phase is what impacts the effectiveness of this method. And if you can commit to doing that for maximum 7 to 10 days per month, that's pretty easy in my opinion. I'm what's great nowadays is we have technology. So there are apps that are available that have great privacy policies where they will never see your data. So Read Your Body app is my absolute favorite. They are adamant about how they literally can never see the data that you put into the app. What's great about using an app is that you're in the bathroom, you're checking out cervical mucus, and you pop it right into your phone and you're done. That's it. Or if you're choosing not to use an app because you're way too skeptical, then you pop it into a notes app and then you transfer it over to a paper chart. That's been actually a really cool thing to notice in the fertility awareness world post-Roe, is that a lot of women are turning to their journals and paper charting again. I loved when I did paper charting. I don't do it anymore. I found it very helpful in my early days of charting. It's very beneficial to that learning curve and learning about not only your symptoms, your biomarkers, but also just your emotional patterns, your mood patterns. And it also just reinforced the knowledge that I was learning as an instructor, as a newbie to fertility awareness. And I guess my final point in closing here is that fertility awareness has been the number one skill set that helped me overcome procrastination, because you cannot procrastinate charting your cycle if you are trying to avoid pregnancy. Because those months where, and I did have that in the early days where I procrastinated and didn't pay as much attention, those were the months where if my period was just a day or two delayed, I was freaking out. I thought my life was ending, that I was pregnant, that my career was going to end because of it. It was not pretty. And it was all because I didn't pay enough attention, because I procrastinated it. So it taught me discipline. And it also was the gateway for understanding how my hormones are impacting me so that I could properly cycle sync. Listen, In the Flow by Elisa Vitti was the book that changed my life. And I love the way that she describes the menstrual cycle, but it only scratches the surface. You have to take the time to learn the deep science of the cycle with an instructor to properly implement what it is that she teaches in that book. Without really understanding how the hormones interact, how to interpret it for your own cycle, you're really only going to be half-assing it. And if you're okay with that, fine. To each his own. But if you're hoping to reap all the benefits that cycle syncing can do for your life, that missing piece to the puzzle is going to be taking the time to study that deep science. And it also just gave me that awareness of my mental health and truly knowing where I am in my cycle based on how my body's communicating to me. This lifestyle can at first appear to be very detail-oriented and discipline-focused and just so, this is only for the conscientious individual, but I was the least conscientious person when I started this 2 years ago, and it has helped me develop into a disciplined person. So if that is something that you desire to have, where you're like, I want to go to bed at a decent hour, I want to exercise more, I want to eat better, learning to chart your cycle is the perfect skill to build the confidence necessary to implement those healthy habits. Because also when you're charting your cycle, you'll see how your habits and behaviors are impacting your menstrual and mental health. So you'll be doubly motivated to chart well, to observe all of these things, gather this data, increase awareness of who you are as a person, and you just become a more well-rounded person, and you actually start to put the time and energy and devotion into bettering yourself, and to finally live that life that you've always dreamed of. To be better, to feel happier, more energized, more motivated. If you can't tell that I'm passionate about this topic, well, I just hope that you have taken something away from this episode. And if you have, I would love to hear from you inside of Instagram. Next episode will be the last episode of season one. I'm unofficially doing seasons, but I will be taking a nice little pause. So I will see you in one more episode next week. Talk to you then. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it supportive in your healing journey, I'd love to hear what resonated with you the most. Hop on over to Instagram and search at fertilityawareness.path to connect with me today. I look forward to hearing all about your goals and dreams, and I'll see you on the next episode of Menstrual Mental Health.